Guys, in these times, how do you tell your family that you're not going to come home for holidays because of the pandemic? Well, for 15 years since I left my parents' home, I had never really spent more than a year without seeing them and my brother. And I'd usually visit them for around New Year's time for at least 2 weeks, usually 3 weeks. Because we get along super well, so I'm always really excited to see them. And my parents and my brother, they all live in the northeast of Brazil. Now, in 2015, if you can remember, Zika virus epidemic spread across Brazil and then a lot of other places in the world. And it was really significant. It was really present in the northeast of Brazil, where the weather is quite warm. It's a very warm weather virus because Zika is transmitted through Aedes aegypti, which is a mosquito. And the Zika virus was causing a huge number of birth defects like microcephaly and other neurological problems on newborns. And some of them were even being born, unfortunately, dead. And what this meant at the time was that, these babies would be born sometimes with collapsed skulls, with significant brain damage, they would have seizures and have hearing loss. They would have growth and vision problems, not only as a baby, but for their entire lives. And this was a very new virus. Very few people knew. The researchers were trying to figure things out. So very little was known about the virus, and they thought that at the time, once a man or a woman, they didn't know how long after being infected, and often you didn't even know you were infected. There weren't a lot of symptoms for the adult who had Zika, but there was a huge impact on the babies during pregnancy. But they thought that even if a man or a woman became infected, their future pregnancies could be at risk for quite a long time. Right, and this is still true, though at the time they didn't know how long, right? Because this was fairly new. And so by New Year's, it had been a year since I had seen my family back in Brazil. And the Zika outbreak was at its absolute peak. My husband didn't want us to go anywhere in Brazil or anywhere where this Zika virus was. A lot of our friends were not even going to places that only had one case in where my parents lived. There were loads of cases, right? My parents and my brother, they couldn't travel to visit us because they had work obligations. And it was really rough. It was really rough. And, 15 years, always seeing them at least once a year. And I cried. I cried a lot because I had never been away more than a year from my parents. And there was no sign that this outbreak was going to settle anytime soon, right? Complete uncertainty around the future. Now, it took about a year for Zika to get under control again, right? A year from that point, which meant I didn't see my parents and brother for 2 years, which felt like an infinity to me, right? And a huge amount of time. And at the time, still, it wasn't clear how long it would take for it to be under control. So in that time, yes, I cried. I was really sad. Now, that first New Year's, right, when coronavirus was at its peak, I had to break the news to my parents to say that I wasn't going to be visiting that year after never missing for 15 years since I left my parents' home. Now, this was probably way harder for me than it was for them. So what I did was I explained to them that I was scared. I said, hey, I'm scared. I'm really fearful here of getting infected and the devastating consequence that this could have if we were to have babies in the future because of Zika, right? These are massive changes, impact. And I explained how my husband felt about it. Like, he absolutely had zero risk tolerance for this. And so by explaining my situation, and I said, I don't know, what do you guys think? Like, what should I do? They themselves, by explaining the difficulty that I had, the situation I was in, they got to the conclusion and suggested that we don't visit them, that we stay where we were. So I decided then, okay, since I can't go to Brazil to visit them, let me at least be more present with them by calling them with a higher frequency and improving the quality of our conversations, right? By being more curious, more present, be a better listener when I was on the phone with them. And since then, this is the brilliant part, since then, right, past Zika, Zika's all under control now, I've had many, many years of meaningful, way more meaningful and frequent conversations with my family, which I didn't have before Zika, because I created this new mindset because of my experience with Zika, because of that hardship, right? And I learned that if it weren't for Zika, I wouldn't have stepped up my communication game with my parents and my brother. I would have missed years. And then as time goes by, decades, right, of meaningful and joyful virtual interactions that have depth, that have meaning, that are joyful. And I learned it doesn't really matter that much if I'm present, you know, for a specific holiday in person, because now they get to feel my presence all year around and I get to be part of their daily lives because I chose to do so. Fast forward 2020, and it's been more than a year that I've seen my parents and my brother. And once again, this virus, a new virus, the coronavirus, is in the way of our encounter. Right? Once again, a virus in the way. I'd have enormous regret if I were to travel to see them, get infected, because it's a long trip, infect them, and then cause them any harm. Right? And again, we're in a situation where huge uncertainty about when this whole pandemic is going to get under control. And I'm telling you, it could be easily another year or more before I get to see them, before I get to hug them, before I get to hang out with them in person. Now, I know it's incredibly hard to interrupt family traditions, right? To not be together. But in my case, I know that this long trip can be a serious risk for them, and I want to do what's right. And it's important for us to know what's right and do what we believe in. So since the outbreak of corona, I knew exactly what I had to do because of my experience with Zika, right? I didn't feel as bad because I know what I need to do. I need to compensate, not at that moment of the holiday. No, I need to make sure that I'm always present in other ways. And that way, I'm never going to have any regrets because I will be constantly in touch with them. So my father told me recently that even though he's, and it's been already a year that I haven't been there, and it feels like, you know, a lot more than that because of all everything that's happening, he feels, you know, my love in very different ways. Like he says, I know, I can see that you're putting an intentional effort to stay in touch with us. And luckily, you know, we have technology to, you know, there's Zoom, there's phone calls, there's WhatsApp to keep people connected. So as we approach 2020, end of the year holidays, my friends, there's Thanksgiving, there's Christmas, there's Hanukkah, there's New Year's. Consider very carefully the risks, right, that coronavirus and you pose to your family members, to your friends, especially if they're seniors or have risk conditions. Consider that the impact for yourself as well. Consider the good and the bad scenarios, even the tragic scenarios. And if you'd have any regrets in any of those situations. And then consider how you can bridge that gap in connection, how you can engage and connect with them in a more regular basis with more depth, right? You can use Zoom, phone calls, whatever. Consider how you can actually have more meaningful conversations with them without being in person necessarily. Then, whatever you decide, and it's important for you to decide on your own, right? Communicate your decision with empathy, with love, and with emotion. So a no with love right now may be a yes to many more beautiful in-person encounters in the future. And it's your job, my friend, just your job, it's nobody else's job, to articulate and to say that message in that way that conveys exactly that meaning, right? So stay more present virtually during the holidays, and remember that when you're not present in person, you need to over-communicate your feelings and presence in other ways, since you don't have the same level of that transmission that you have normally when you're in present, with eye contact, with the touch, with the body language, with nodding, and with facial expressions like face-to-face, right? So you got to be mindful of how to use, I'm going to give you three elements here to better connect virtually or over with phone conversations to be able to have that meaning, that meaningful interaction, right? Number one, be more emphatic with your words that communicate emotion. Like, let's say you want to communicate curiosity, you can say, tell me more, really? Or sadness, oh, that's really sad. I'm so sorry to hear that. Happy, I'm excited, I can't wait. Empathy, I feel you, I hear you, that's tough. Surprise, instead of saying, you know, you could say no way or wow, I can't believe that, that's crazy. And then you wanna accentuate, number two, accentuate your intonation. So instead of saying wow, right? Wow, that might be fine if you're in person and they can see your face shining, lighting up. But if you're over the phone, you gotta say wow, with exclamation marks, my friend. If you're saying no way, no way, you gotta pump that up a little, put that energy up, right? Stand up on your feet instead of sitting down, say no way, right? No way. Bring that accentuated intonation to compensate for the body image, the eye contact that they're not seeing. Or seeing in a limited way, right? And then use expressions. The third one is use expressions to show that you're listening, you're following them. Right? Especially if you're on the phone. You could say interjections like, I see, I got it, understand. Could you repeat that? Is this what you mean? You got to really work a little bit differently, a little bit more intentionally when you're on the phone versus in person. But it's doable. It's totally doable. And if you learn this skill now, you'll have it always. And then let me share with you three strategies that you can use to bridge that communication gap and influence your loved ones, your family and friends in these emotional conversations. So the one that I used with my parents back then with the Zika virus is get them to empathize with you, right? So you could say, hey, I'm terrified of causing you harm by bringing this virus into your home, into you. So what would you do if you were me? This is, you know, really terrifies me. Or number two, make it about you, not them. That's really important because if you don't do that, they might try to convince you that it doesn't matter that you should come, right? So you're not using an argument. You're just making it about a feeling that you have that's negative. That's you, not them. So you could say, you know, I couldn't live. You're always going to use I here. I couldn't live with the regret of causing harm to you. Or I am not comfortable traveling with the coronavirus risks if you're not comfortable yourself. Or if you're a doctor or a nurse, you could say, you know, I would feel incredibly guilty if I got infected and then caused my patients to die because of it. Right there, you can't argue against the feeling that you feel. It is what it is. And third, make it about the long-term benefits versus short-term pains. You always have to shift it a little bit. So the long-term benefit would be something like, because here's the deal. People will focus very much on the short-term than on the long-term, right? And so they put the short-term pains out of proportion and they forget the long-term benefits. And this is very human. So your job is to put things in perspective and bring the short-term pain in or bring the long-term benefits to bring it forward and show and enhance that message. So you could say, you know, once this pandemic is under control, then we can spend so much more time together. We can go on a lot of trips. We can do so many things together, right? Versus if something terrible happens to them and then that future is not there. So if you want to share, break the news that you're not visiting your esteemed family members or esteemed friends during this holiday season, if you've made that decision for yourself, and it's important for you to make this decision for yourself and then with them. So this is how you do it in six steps in a warm, caring, and loving way. Six steps. Number one, you're going to start reaffirming the value of that relationship that you have with them. So you could say, you know, I really care for you and I wish I could be there to celebrate this holiday with you. Step number two, you're going to be direct about your decisions and you're not going to hesitate. You're not going to open it up, right? You're going to say, for example, hey, unfortunately, this year, we won't be visiting. And understand that negative messages, they might react negatively for a while just because people need time to process these things. Doesn't mean that they're going to hate you, right? This is the way of showing that you still care. This is a loving way of doing it. Now, step number three, say why, right? Based on something that is yours. Make it about you again, right? Something that you feel you don't feel comfortable with. So you could say, I can't handle the regret of potentially bringing this virus to you and causing, you know, negative consequences. Then step four, see if you can offer some alternative. You can say something like, hey, here's what I'd love to do. Why don't we have a virtual dinner together? I know it's not the same, but I still believe that it can be very special. And then in the step number five, you're going to reaffirm the relationship value again by saying something like, you know, I really love spending time with you and I wish I could be there. And then finally, step number six, you're going to paint a brighter future to end on a positive note. So for example, you could say, and I can't wait for this epidemic to pass so I can come see you in person and give you a big hug. So if you put that all together, it would look like this is just an example. It would look like this. You know, I really care for you and I wish I could be there to celebrate this holiday together with you. But unfortunately, this year we won't be visiting. I can't really handle the thought, the regret of bringing this virus to you and causing tragedy or negative consequences to you. Now, here's what I'd love to do. Why don't we have a virtual dinner together? I know it's not the same thing, but I really believe that this can be really special if we make it special. Because I love spending time with you and I really wish I could be there. And I can't wait for this pandemic to be over so that I can come and see you in person and give you a big hug. Does that sound that scary? So mean? Selfish? Not at all, my friends. Not at all. Don't allow the discomfort of communicating bad news to have you do something that you feel uncomfortable with, that goes against your own beliefs, or that may cause you painful regrets later, right? It's always best to speak sooner than later if you already have the decision so people can prepare, can do their emotional processing, and focus on the positive, right? That way you can handle the situation, you can make your relationship stronger. And remember, just like Zika and other viruses, this too will pass. Coronavirus will pass. And just like Zika taught me to be more present on a continuous basis, to have more meaningful relationships, to be in control, let coronavirus teach you something. Let it change your connection habits for the better, for the long term. My friends, happy holidays, however you choose to celebrate it. But be safe and have fun and be confident, candid, and caring during this season. Thank you once more for giving me the opportunity to serve you today, and I can't wait to hear from you in the comments, or I can't wait to see you in future videos again. Have a beautiful, brilliant day and holidays ahead. Bye-bye.